Hey, I feel like this morning that Lyman has hit pretty well on what I want to talk about, which, of course, is the resurrection of Christ. We are assembled here this morning to partake of the emblems of bread and wine in remembrance of Jesus Christ, of his sacrifice, for he said, "This do in remembrance of me." As Paul so vividly tells us, our hope is bound up in the resurrection of Christ. For if he did not rise, then all preaching is in vain. We have proof of this resurrection. The Old Testament foretold it. It was seen typically in the incident where Abraham was told to sacrifice his son, the one in whom the promised seed was to be. To Isaac's question, "Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham uttered a prophecy that was to be fulfilled in the death of Jesus Christ some 2,000 years later. He said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Genesis 22:7-8. The testimony of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus coming unto him was, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1:29. God intervened when Abraham took the knife to slay his son. Thus Isaac was brought again from what appeared to be a certain death. And as Paul says in Hebrews 11:19, this was to Abraham a resurrection from the dead. Abraham said also in Genesis 22:14, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." What would be seen in the mount of the Lord? The answer is the fulfillment of the type. Isaac in this incident was a type of the Lord Jesus. The antitype, the sacrifice of the Lord upon Mount Calvary, was seen in the mount of the Lord outside Jerusalem over 1900 years ago. A type is a shadow of an approaching reality. It is not the same as the real thing. The shadow cast at night is perhaps vaguely familiar, but the details are obscured. So also is the type. The outline is there, but the complete detail is seen only in the real thing. Jesus' resurrection was also shown in type by Joseph's deliverance from prison. Joseph was condemned both by his brothers and the Egyptians, and suffered imprisonment from both. The Lord Jesus was likewise condemned by Jew and Gentile. God was with Joseph, brought him from prison, and elevated him to ruler of the land. The Lord Jesus was likewise brought from the grave and given all power. Joseph was raised up, as Christ was, to save his people, in that he experienced evil treatment, rejection, and what amounted to crucifixion. His life patterned the deeper sufferings of our Lord, as his restoration and elevation to power foreshadowed the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection was shown typically in the ordeal of Jonah, who was swallowed by a great fish, where he spent 3 days and three nights before he was miraculously delivered. Jesus, in speaking to certain of the scribes and Pharisees, said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Matthew 12:39-40. Jesus was very plainly teaching them of his resurrection, and yet they were blinded, that seeing they might not perceive, and hearing they might not understand. These types in themselves are proof for those rich in faith. But we are also told expressly of the resurrection in a number of places. And I would like to turn to a couple of these now. The first one being Psalms chapter 16. Verses 8 through 10. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. In Acts, the second chapter also, which we referred to in our class so much this morning, starting at verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. The New Testament also asserts his resurrection, for the apostles taught it. Let us look at Romans 6, 9 and 10. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. The evangelists of the four Gospels agree on the resurrection, and their accounts are to be found in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20. These four accounts tell us that there were a number of eyewitnesses who knew Jesus and were with him prior to his crucifixion. After his resurrection, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, several other women, two of the disciples, the 11, and about 500 brethren. At his appearance, some were frightened, thinking that they were seeing a spirit, but were afterwards overcome with joy when they knew for a certainty that it was indeed their risen Lord. After they were strengthened by being with Christ before his ascension to heaven, they went about with all boldness, preaching the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. No amount of trials, hardships, or persecutions could deter them from this one faith. Thus, the resurrection could be evidenced by the new zeal that they had in their lives and their holiness of living. Paul, in his writings, teaches the principle of offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, for we are to be the temple of the living God, 2 Corinthians 6:16. Their testimony to Jesus was seen in their contempt for the world and for the things it had to offer. They no longer needed the approval of those around them in anything they did, for they had living proof of the salvation of God in Jesus Christ. Christ commanded them, "If you love me, keep my commandments," John 14, 15. This they did, sometimes even to the suffering of death, at the hands of those who opposed the Word of God. They were assured that they would be raised up by the same power they had been witnesses of. And they were given a great deal of success for their obedience to the word. Notably, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And after this, they continued in one accord, the Lord adding daily to the church such as should be saved. Acts 2:47. Christ arose from the dead to the end that God might be glorified. It shows forth God's faithfulness in fulfilling his promises concerning all that he had foretold through his messengers, the prophets. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Adam and Eve were given the assurance of a promised Savior who would abolish sin and death through the righteousness which is of faith. God, in raising up Christ from the dead, showed his power to all generations. For if we believe that God raised up Jesus, then we also believe that he will quicken our mortal bodies by this same power. Christ's resurrection was for man's good. He is now able, as high priest and mediator, to spiritually quicken the dead in trespasses and sins. We are able by his strength to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is before us. Hebrews 12:1. Before his crucifixion, Christ plainly declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. Yet even his closest disciples failed to understand his mission at his first coming, and it took his resurrection from the grave to fully certify his messiahship. Leviticus 17:11 tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. God established this principle in the Garden of Eden, and it remained from that time until Christ was offered up as the perfect sacrifice of the condemned race to taste death, as it were, for all men. He was raised for our justification before God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5:1-2. Christ's resurrection gives us the assurance that our bodies will likewise be raised. This knowledge should comfort all of us in our afflictions, for we know that they are but trials to build our characters, and they will all be over soon enough. Even death itself holds no terrifying thoughts for those who have Jesus to lean upon, for we know that death is but the rightful end of sin. The promise of eternal life should overshadow all doubts we might entertain on the subject. John, in speaking of Christ as the cornerstone which the builders rejected, says in the 44th verse of the 22nd chapter, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." This should bring terror to sinners and induce them to believe in Christ, for God has given all power to his well-beloved Son. Let us all strive to live unto him by following his teachings and his examples, which God has provided for us through his written word. Most of all, brothers and sisters, let us imitate him by rising from sin to newness of life.